Hola Madridistas, welcome back to another episode of Let's Be Real podcast. You know the drill. If you guys are new here, don't forget to smash the like and subscribe to the channel. We are on the road to 2K, and also people tuning in on our audio platforms. If you're new, don't forget to smash the follow button and do leave a rating. It really help us, you know, tap into the algorithm if you guys didn't know about it already. So yeah, much love to, you know, everyone tuning in live and later as well. But big up to our partners again, Manscaped. You know the drill. Check out our pinned comment in the YouTube live, and you know the description of the video. And also, I'm pretty sure it should be in the description of our audio podcast as well. Use code LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping on all Manscaped products. They ship to almost 90% of the globe. So yeah, do check them out. Show them some love. Show us some love. Like I would always like to reiterate. On that note, welcome my esteemed co-host, Jacob. How's it going? Great night out. Wasn't that great watching the match, right? It was a chore, at least for me. I was just, you know, getting annoyed by the minute, basically, you know, what I saw, essentially with patterns of play. I know we are missing key components, right? So most teams, you know, Sevilla were without guys like Lamela, right? They also had their fair share of absentees as well. But yeah, this performance, I'll be honest, right? I don't want to, you know, pile on the doom and gloom from the get-go, but this performance doesn't really, you know, enforce me with any sort of belief going into, you know, the last 3-4 months of the season. Great goal, not gonna lie, we'll get into it. But yeah, man, like, we have been noticing this pattern, right? You know, since the past 3-4 weeks, that we really aren't playing great football, right? But like, I kind of console myself, you know, telling myself that, like, going back 3-4 years, around this time, you know, like mid-Jan, mid-Feb, the times when we really need to be patient with our side and, you know, back the team, which, you know, I'm doing so, where the performances are going to get drab, are going to get a bit tiring to sit through, to be honest. But then, you know, when the Champions League crunch games come knocking, like, we turn up. I hope that's the case again for Carlo, because otherwise, I'm telling you, it'll be peak. I wouldn't, you know, ride on that thought too long. Well, just my 2 cents, you know, before we dive into the matter at hand. But Jacob, talk to me, man. Initial thoughts, how was it for you? Sevilla. Yeah,
I'm just trying to not let that depressing speech get to me, because I'm super pumped, super happy that we actually got the win. It looked really hard towards the end, but then yeah, we needed something special just to, like, pull it off as the minutes went by. For me, like, the game was super entertaining, man. Like, I don't know, because and it's not just the football, it's like the aspect of Sergio Ramos, the referee being a total shit. First time seeing the referee getting subbed off, that was new. Like,
he was the first sub of the game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even some special moments like Toni Kroos getting calmed down by Sergio Ramos, of all people.
Yeah, it was like the muscle memory kicked in for him, basically. Yeah,
all of those things, like, together made the game entertaining. I know, like, we didn't have a lot of support in the box for Vinny and Rodrigo. They were kind of doing it all on their own until, like, at least the 40th minute, after which we kind of turned it up. And I feel like we more than deserve to actually win this game.
100%.
Yeah. And it took some special saves along the way as well. Like, Lunin was tremendous again. He was scooping up the crosses. He had made such a crucial save that I didn't even know was, like, that could be saved. It was an absolutely immense save at that moment in the game. And yeah, I was thoroughly entertained, man. Not gonna lie.
I was entertained as well. Like, come on, man. Like, let's not kid ourselves, right? Like, games against Sevilla are sort of a mini derby for sure. You know, they are always games with, you know, high emotions, high octane. You know, it'll be end to end, no matter what the stakes are. So I was 100%, you know, entertained, just like you said. But watching us really, you know, huff and puff for a clear-cut opening isn't really, you know, like, I wish Farooq was on the panel so that he could say this and I could counter that, right? But since it's just you and me,
I feel like you have to bring in the context here. So these guys, they're pretty much defending with five people in a line.
100%, yeah. Very solid, very organized defensive block.
Yeah, that's what KK Fuller's chances does to his teams. And that's one of the reasons why Sevilla are still like not in the relegation zone.
This guy basically, you know, helped them out, right? Yeah,
and they've had immense performances against Valencia, against they went in the Sanchez Pizjuan, they won against Atleti, not easy at all. So yeah, man, I
watched the game, was incredible.
Yeah, so these guys are pretty good defensively, and I feel like considering all of that, like I was expecting this kind of a game. Modric did not disappoint, man.
100%, we'll get into Modric, but yeah, man, big up Kike Sanchez Flores, a former player for us. You know, I think he played during the Valdano era, if I'm not mistaken. You know, good utility right back for us in the 80s. But I think he's from Valencia as well. But the thing is, for me, right, like, yes, I do get, you know, what you said, that they have a very solid defensive organization that's being deployed, that has helped them outside get out of the relegation zone and whatnot. But for me, again, you know, this is going to be a recurring theme from the past couple of weeks, where even against Leipzig, for us to really create chances, we lack runners. We lack a focal point. We didn't have a focal point going into the season. We knew what to expect, right? But what kind of helped us out was basically our midfield stepping up, you know, taking some responsibility, at least some attention off of our attackers, and, you know, helping us progress up the pitch better, finish, you know, chances off with much more clinicality and whatnot. But games like today just, you know, reminds me of impending doom. What if Jude Bellingham picks up, you know, a niggle ahead of a crucial clash? Like, let's say away, you know, this is kind of the staple, right? Away at the Etihad, right? Jude is out. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, Jacob? Right? That's the question.
We'll see, man, when we get to that point. But I feel like Jude will be back and he'll solve a lot of the problems that we're seeing right now. I know, like, I totally get your point. We have been struggling to score in the last three games. But today,
it's not like Vinny and Rodrigo are not trying. They were excellent tonight. Like, Vinny especially was incredible. His absolutely. Work rate, his eye for the pass, eye for when to shoot, when to go, when to stay. He was basically our sole threat. I saw Mo bigging up Brahim. What really did Brahim do apart from a couple of neat interchanges? Did Brahim really, you know?
I mean, to my eyes, we had maybe three or four clear-cut chances. Brahim had the chance. Mm. I mean, he created two of those chances. He wasn't really flashy today like his other counterparts. Mm. His dribbling, like, he couldn't really get past his marker. But he did combine well on that right-hand side on a couple of occasions. He didn't do it consistently enough for me to, like, be totally entertained. But yeah.
Lucas Vasquez, you know, like his other, compatriot down the right, he thrives on crosses. Every time, you know, he looks up, there's nobody. He's like, yeah, I want to cross. My body is telling me to cross it right now, but who do I cross to? You know, like, so he has to basically track back on it and, you know, like, lay it out wide or, you know, lay it outside the box. It's just... Yeah, not great for me, you know, sitting through that. I just hope we find answers, like, you know, what Alvaro did when he came on. He hasn't been in great form this season. You know, people have been very, very, you know, clutch in basically pointing that out on many occasions, especially on social media. Like, when people say Alvaro Rodriguez, they're quick to point out, oh, he has been shy. You know, he hasn't really been... tearing up, you know, the Castilla, you know, season at all. But we need some answer, some sort of inspiration. And yeah, the inspiration came from Luka Modric. We'll get into that in a second. Let me get to a few of the comments, pick up the chat. Just give me a second. Ashu was mentioning that was vintage Modric, Aston Martin DB5 delivered by Luka Modric. 100%. Pick up Luka. Pick up Ashik. Luka Modric apparently was asked about Ramos. He was mentioning, yes, this is his shirt. He's my brother. People always judge us by our age, but his level is simply outstanding. Maximum happiness after seeing him. Sergio Ramos, impressed. Not going to lie. Yes, he had a couple of erratic moments. Like, you know, did we talk about Ramos recently? I'm not sure, but one of you guys did pointed out to me, you know, like I've been following Ramos in Sevi and he really hasn't been that great. But we knew this about Ramos anyway, right? Like even with us during his peak years, he has that occasional blunder every game, right? Like he will be caught out of position or he'll be caught, you know, being a little too aggressive. But tonight, you know, he just basically made me, you know, reminisce what he was all about at his peak, you know, like basically sweeping up. But again, did we really test him, right? Did we really have someone who would square up against him, basically keep him pinned, basically give him a constant thought to, you know, to worry about? We didn't, right? But super happy seeing him, not gonna lie. Thoughts, man? Jacob, quick thoughts. Sergio Ramos, still going strong.
Definitely, man. He's definitely a big game player. Even in the bigger games for Sevilla, he's actually turned up. On the smaller games, he does tend to lose concentration every now and then. But yeah, an almost perfect game. I feel like the only time I saw him like actually slipping up was on that Rodrigo chance when Rodrigo was driving up and he had a slip. Man, Rodrigo should have done better there. But then, yeah, that was the only time that I saw him make a mistake this game. It's totally awesome.
Open goal, right? Open side of goal. And he just couldn't
even put it on target. It's made me so mad. So mad.
Rodrigo has been slacking for a while now. Yeah, like people can big up his work rate and whatnot, but where he basically earns his bread is basically, you know, putting away chances, giving us the lead, man. But unfortunate. I'm not gonna talk much about Rodrigo tonight. I think today's not the day. I'm telling you, without someone like Jude, it's super hard. Like Brahim is a good stopgap option when Jude is not there, but Brahim really doesn't make runs in behind. Like he more often than not inverts or, you know, drifts out wide and basically tries to combine from there. He doesn't really do what Jude does, for me at least. Right, Ashi was also saying, I think we needed a physical imposing striker in the box in the game because our tiny forwards looked outmatched by Ramos. 100%. Like, basically, like Lilliputs, you know, being stomped by some sort of a giant. All the chances were created, needed a focal point to put the ball in. That's always going to be the problem this season, man. Whether we like it or not, whether we can, you know, really stomach what's going to happen, you know, come the pivotal games in the Champions League this season, that's going to be the reality. And it really is starting to sink in for me. Beginning of the season, right? Beginning of the season when we are kind of getting into the rhythm, you know, the players are kind of getting used to playing into in this formation. We can really tell ourselves, oh yeah, this is just the, you know, the bedding in period, right? But when we get to March, this is basically March, right? It is worrying, I'm not going to lie. Ash was also saying, Lunin's save was crucial. Sevilla also missed a chance in the first half. Game could have turned. Yeah. But after that, did Sevilla really test us, Jacob? They didn't, right?
Lunin's save was pretty, midpoint in the second half. I guess the first half, it was the El Nesyri chance very early on.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy. How did he miss, though? Right?
He just blasted it.
Yeah, like, could you believe it? I couldn't believe it because it was basically Nacho and Mendy sleeping. Super, super terrible. Like, they should be proactive. Nobody really did have a chance, you know, with the
it was a very quick transition. I feel like Fede Valverde could have helped out Lukaszewski a bit more, but yeah, man, like that was kind of the theme in this whole game. Whenever like they looked dangerous, it was from the right hand side, and Valverde wasn't there to like help him fully in this game.
100%. Ashok was also mentioning Brahim is just pure entertainment. Brahim and Vinny without without whining. Other reason I'd pay to go to a game. Yeah, I'm not gonna shy away from saying that they can really create magic on their own. But yeah, again, when they're up against a well-trained, well-organized defense, right? Even like people might fool themselves into thinking, oh yeah, maybe a more attacking-oriented side or a side with better aspirations would be, not so defensively focused. But these guys in this formation against guys like Ruben Dias, right? Guys like who else? I was going to say Upa Mekano, then I remembered he got two red cards back-to-back. It was a couple of weeks ago. Who else are the elite centre-backs in Europe? I don't know. William Saliba? Is he that great? But I'm more afraid of Gabriel.
Bastoni.
There you go. There's many more. When they come up against these lot, they're gonna really, have a reality check that they really need some help. But yeah, let's move on to Luka Modric, I guess. Perfect time. Jacob, for me, that finish really took me back. Took me back to when I was sweet 17, watching Luka play against Manchester United in 480p away at the Old Trafford. That finish forever will go down in our history. And this was just as sweet, kissing the post. Going in, it's some sort of a trademark Luka Modric finish. He doesn't do the easy stuff, right? Like when he scores, it's basically a banger every single time. But yeah, walk us through the finish, man. Up until then, like we were just ponderous. We really didn't know how to really nick a goal.
Yeah, it was peak, because the midfield just didn't have any idea about Rudiger was up at the box at that point. Valverde just kind of floated it in, and then the defense failed to clear it, fell to Luka Modric. And I've seen Luka Modric in training this season so much, it's a finishing move that he pulls off almost nine out of 10 times. It's always off the right hand side of the post. Like these guys, Rodrigo, Vinny, even Valverde, they can potentially miss the post, but in training videos, Luka Modric never misses, and it's always that curling finish into the right corner of the post. So glad it worked out for us. And yeah, man, incredible goal. Like you said, it really threw us back to that Man United place, because even there, we were absolutely struggling, trying to look for some sort of ideas to actually score, and Luka Modric again comes up and saves us.
Stepped up big time. I just hope this kind of gives him some sort of boost in terms of but basically with our injury situation, I guess he's gonna get more minutes than we initially kind of predicted, maybe going back to even as late as last month. Luka Modric, I think should really be looking at himself in the mirror and thinking, yes, this is my turning point in the season. Up until now, I have been really been on the fringes, whether it be by my own lack of initiative, maybe age is really catching up to me. But given 20 minutes, 25 minutes to turn a game, he can really do a job. But again, we have seen games where he comes on and it really kind of backfires slightly. I just hope that's not the case, but in at least in the Champions League, I don't think it'll be that much of a worry, especially if we can kind of negate what he lacks off the ball, if you know what I mean. But yeah, man, big goal from Luka Modric. Kind of gonna miss him, not gonna lie. In a couple of months it's gonna be peak us trying to collect our thoughts to basically put it into a 1 hour show. I don't think it'll be enough. But I haven't picked up Luka Modric every single time. Right. The subs. Jacob, I felt like Carlo should have made it at least 10, 15 minutes earlier. I don't know why he waited so long. Did you feel that watching the game?
No, not really, man. I feel like at that point, the team was hitting their peaks in terms of attacking play. And I wanted to keep that momentum going. But then that was a great move. Taking Nacho off, that was a power move.
I didn't expect that. I thought someone from midfield was going to be a straight swap out.
I wouldn't have actually liked it if it was someone from midfield. I feel like they were doing decently well. But yeah, this was a power move and totally what we needed.
Yeah, Tchouaméni. So the trust is there. Yeah? Tchouaméni basically.
Why did I agree to even play center back in the first place? Now, every time like when we need a goal, this is going to happen.
100%. And he has been, he hasn't shied away from mentioning it openly as well, right? Like he has come out in multiple interviews and said that he has basically dug himself a hole now. But yeah, for me personally, like I know what you're talking about, that the intensity and how we were kind of pinning them. Basically, Sevilla were trying to, you know, finding it very hard to even breathe, you know, with the amount of onslaughts we were, you know, piling on them. But I felt like we just needed some sort of a change. I would have just straight up pulled off Rodrigo Brahim and you know, put in Arda Güler, for instance. Arda Güler or Alvaro. I know it's a high ask.
Yeah.
But my point is, right, hear me out. My point is, this is a must-win game for us, right? Especially with how, like, I don't know if you have been noticing the media narrative of Barcelona is basically, you know, semi-back, you know, had a, you know, a good, a neat little run the past few weeks and whatnot. The league's not yet done, blah, blah, blah. So this win was very essential. Like, we needed to drive home the statement that yes, this is basically our league to lose from now on. And so I get the stakes, right? But if Arda Güler comes on, right, like I know it's against Ramos and Bade, who has been pretty exceptional, you know, the whole 90, apart from Bade, I think, you know, giving the rebound to Modric from which he scored, they have been excellent, right? I know he's gonna struggle, but what if he comes out the other side with a winner? It's going to do the world for his confidence. It's going to basically take so much weight off him. It's going to mature him at least by 30%. Make him a bit more acclimatized, basically. Now he's too cold, right? Like, you can see him. He's waiting to come on. He's thinking, oh, yeah, like, I'm going to come on when the ball is going to go out this time. Then they're like, no, wait for the next one. He's like, okay, I'm going to wait. Then the ball goes out the next time and, you know, they're like, you know, just hold on for a second again. So you're basically giving him the nerves that he already has, and you're basically doubling down on him. I get that he's 18 and whatnot. This is not a hot take. No, yeah, this is just me being. Yeah, he's 19. Happy birthday, right, Arda Güler. But I get it. It's too early for him. But yeah, man, games like this, Sevilla weren't really even attempting to, you know, hurt us, right? Like they just, I think, played for a draw, probably. They just were very content with, you know, trying to contain us. In a game like this, I think Arda Güler could have done a job, you know. But I know you thought differently about it. But yeah, some of the other notable performances. Tchouaméni, again, decent stepping in with the interceptions, you know, breaking up play. The more I watch him being, you know, a more defensive-minded player, the more I like him. This season has been, you know, Tchouaméni season to lose. You know, when he was out, we all knew how much we were going to miss him, and we definitely missed him. Him coming back and him being this versatile, you know, having guys like Kamavinga and Tchouaméni basically, you know, pulling out the Swiss Army knife to, you know, switch positions effectively, efficiently, you know, without even just thinking about it, is such a boon, and it's gonna, you know, go a long way. Yeah, man. Thoughts on Tchouaméni, Jacob, if you have any?
Yeah, in the first half, I saw him and Valverde switching positions, so they used to take turns actually trying to drive into the box. Tchouaméni had a couple of decent occasions. One in the box with Brahim, his shot just deflected wide. The other one was a great turn. He again tried to cross it, but you know, Sevilla defense was on point. But yeah, man, like these moments, you know, kind of confuse you. It's like, oh man, should he actually play in a B2B position, or should he just stay out of the back and have Kamavinga fill up for him? But yeah, like, good to see that he's so versatile.
100%. His partner, Fede, wasn't that clean in the first half, especially, you know, it took a while for him to get into the game. Usual stuff. He held his own. I think more often than not, his shot you know, brush the post, which was like, do you think it was intentional or was it just his, you know, body reacting to the fall and, you know, hoping that he would, you know, get some contact on the ball on the way through?
No, man, like he hit it with his right foot, it bounced off of his left foot and then hit the post.
Really? Because maybe.
I saw it in slow motion. Yeah. That's what happened. So
right. I'm thinking about it wrong.
Unintentional strike. But yeah, man, I feel like Fede at that point he should have done better, knowing how good of a finish he has. Should have put it in the back of the net. But yeah, at least it hit the post. Didn't get embarrassed or anything. Right. But yeah, even in the first half, he had a really good long shot. That was pretty much the final kick of the game that we had a good chance at. So yeah, but he absolutely looks tired, man. That's the worrying thing that about me, because that's the reason he couldn't really support Lucas Vasquez in defense, and they could make like a 2 or 3 chances out of that. So hopefully
he looks leggy, right? Yeah.
When Kamavinga's back, we can potentially give Modric more minutes, or you know, try to give him some rest, because we will need him against RB Leipzig for sure.
100%. Let me get to a few of the comments. Marcus Winningham. Wait, before the Lucas Vasquez was saying something about Ramos. Spectacular. He's a great player in our history. He deserves everything good. Yeah, they have a bromance. They even had a little moment, remember? You know, when he basically barged into him and was like, oh, yeah. We have been here before. Yeah, super wholesome, super wholesome. Marcus Winningham was mentioning Bravo for the win, but injury is ruining our season because the rest looks tired. Rest of the team looks tired, I think he meant. Big up Farooq was saying, look at magic. Big up yourself. Make yourself available, man, next week, please. Enough for your vacation to, you know, be prolonged, you know, over a month. You know, I guess it's about time you came back and bless us with your presence. Ashik was mentioning Luka Modric at 38 is like an 18-year-old single malt scotch, pure smoothness. He also says Rodrigo will have competition next season. All of your favorite French men come into town again. Right. Farooq was asking him, was it on Anthony Marshall? Vika Prinsate was mentioning the team's performance was high. Lonin is spectacular, deserved win. 100%. Lonin really is you know, coming into his own. I just hope he just sees it through, man, this season. You know what my feelings are about Lonin and, you know, the Thibaut return and whatnot. You know, I hope it works out for both of them. It's going to be really tricky, you know, how the coaching staff, you know, navigates that goalkeeping situation. Cruz was okay. Had a couple of, you know, iffy passes, you know, which was, you know, out of the norm. You know, wasn't really expecting that, but, you know, his usual switches of play, neat, intricate combinations was decent. Mendy, I want to talk about Mendy, bro. Why was Mendy basically inverting so much and being, you know, the guy that is tasked with, you know, linking up with Rodrigo and Vinicius so much? I don't get it. Like, the amount of times I see basically Mendy being the farthest forward was mental. Do you think that was tactical or was it just Mendy freestyling?
Yeah, definitely tactical, because these guys don't have height, man. Like it or not, like whatever cross he put in, Brahim and Rodrigo aren't getting to it. So having him in that box, trying to push people back, maybe if the ball gets to him, he can have a flick on or something, or take a shot. He's the only one who can at that point. Mm. So I feel like him inverting was the best decision. Like what's the use if he was actually not inverting and going to the byline? Vinny was anyway just going to try to dribble the whole team. So I feel like that was a good tactic by Ancelotti, and we noticed that a lot more than previous games.
100%. I'm just happy that, you know, these guys are, you know, just picking up form. We need them. We need basically every single, you know, iota of energy that we can get from, you know, all these people, man. In 2 months, basically, what is this, February the 25th or something? So in like less than 2 months, we'll know how our season is going to be looking like. And it's really making me nervous, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, man, Jacob, I think this is the perfect occasion for the ad break from Manscaped.
Hola, Madridistas. I'm back once again to remind you guys that we're partnering up with Manscaped. And if you want to help and support this project and this little family of ours, be sure to check out Manscaped and use code LBR20 at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. So 2024 is in full swing. We're already a month in, and if you had any New Year's resolutions to look better, you know, feel better, I have a company called Manscaped. They're trusted by more than 10 million men worldwide, and if you want to take a positive step, you know, in a good direction this year, start with yourself. And Manscaped asked us to introduce you guys to the new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It's a hair trimmer, you know, for your sensitive bits. It features skin safe technology, you know, to keep your sensitive bits safe. It has an LED bright, it's waterproof, you can use it in the shower. You get two extra heads, blade heads, to go either full smooth or a normal blade head. If you want to go all in, you can get the whole package. You get a nose trimmer, you get crop preserver, it's a ball deodorant, you get some aftershave, and in the box you also get some boxers and a bag, you know, to keep all of those things in. So yeah, if you're interested, go to manscaped.com, use code LBR20 to get 20% off at checkout, and free shipping. That's LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. And thank you guys, and back to the video.
Yeah, welcome back, people. You heard Doris. You know, this was the perfect opportunity. You guys have been asking us, you know, how you can show us some love, you know, how we can, you know, give back to you what we have been doing for, you know, over 2.5 years now. So yeah, this is your way. LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Pioneers of below the waist grooming, but they have a whole catalog of products, you know, that cater to mainly men, but yeah, man, ranging from beard waxes, deodorants, loungewear, all of that. So
ball, yeah, wipes,
check them out. I have to add. What was that?
Ball wipes.
Jacob, this is a strictly, you know,
man, I'm saying PG-13 that because that is like one of the more affordable options, so that like you can get t-shirts and ball wipes for like, especially when you put in our code, you can get it for $16.
Right, okay, decent. There you go. That wasn't the information that I was seeking. But yeah, Jacob was kind of insinuating that we talk about our set pieces, right? What is the issue, Jacob? Is it the delivery, right, from Cruz, which I've been pretty keen on pointing out that he hasn't really been spectacular with his delivery this season? Or is it just us finding our players lacking the determination to get on the end of things? Or is it just bad timing, bad crosses?
Man, I feel like in Europe, we are one of the teams with like the most goals from set pieces. That seems shocking to me. But just the last few games, I think those were early on in the season. Now in the last few games, it's just we're throwing bodies around the box, which is not getting into our players though. So if Toni Kroos takes the corner from the left, from the left-hand side of the pitch, it's usually a short corner. He passes it to Vini, and he passes it back. And recently, like, they've been making a mess of it. It used to work out a lot in the past, but now I feel like teams have caught up to it. And when it's from the right, he just puts the ball in and it just goes nowhere, hits the first man out of the pitch.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, when I saw the stat, I think on ESPN or something, you know, a couple of weeks back, that we have the most goals from set place in La Liga and whatnot, I was kind of shocked, right? Because if that was the case, like, we would be really raving about our set piece play a lot more, you know, throughout the course of the season, but we really haven't. I'm telling you, like, I've always been very keen on, you know, mentioning this beating this, you know, tired drum, that, you know, come a game where it'll be decided by fine margins, a set piece is gonna be our, you know, key, you know, for unlocking defense, or, you know, deciding basically the course of, you know, our destiny, you know, especially in the Champions League. I just need some guaranteed goals from set pieces. Yeah, go on, Jacob.
Yeah, I was just thinking, but maybe it's also the players, you know, like, obviously, Jude Bellingham is going to be back. Militao possibly could be back later on in the season. Joselu could be in the box. If you have all of those players, it doesn't even matter like how bad of a ball you put. You just put it in the middle of the area, these guys are going to get on the end of it. So
Joselu's injury is worrying, man. I'm not going to lie.
Hopefully, Alvaro steps up, because we don't have any other option coming off the bench. Anything similar to Joselu.
I really liked what Alvaro did, you know, towards the end of the game, where he basically knocked the ball past, you know, a couple of guys and tried to take them on. He has really good strength. He has a good, you know, lanky physique to him. So, you know, if he puts that to good use, at least he can be a nuisance, right? Like, open up space for others to work with. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it, man. You know, I was just wondering what else do we have to talk about this game? You know, when you say you're super satisfied, you know, Jacob, this is what I expect from you. You know, you should have much more the good things to say. See, ran out, right?
I do. No, I didn't run out. I can always say good things, man. Like, good thing was Carlo had his tactics on point. Like, his sub pretty 100%. Much changed the game. Just the celebrations at the end of the 90, that just goes to shows like how important this game was, and this was a crucial moment in the season. Like, you know, if we had a draw and Girona caught up to us, like, we basically would have squandered the whole season, whatever we had so far. So, like, really important moment, and we turned up. Super happy for the team.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. You know, pick up Carlo. You know me, right? Like, I expect so much more from this team. You know, I just hope this is the usual February, you know, slump we have. You know, it just corrects its course itself, like it has always done. You know, most times. But yeah, like, big up some individual performances again. You know, Vinicius again. I think he's truly, you know, stepping up at the right time. You know, he's coming into his own. Really getting that confidence back and whatnot. Rodrigo is my you know, little gripe. You know, I just
Black
expect a lot more from,
for sure.
Really, yeah. You went that far, but yeah, like, Rodrigo, I feel like should be doing a lot more. Should be a lot more clinical, especially with his chances. The fact that this formation really, you know, especially if, you know, Jude is not at it, or, you know, if he's missing and whatnot, we really struggle for chances. Yes, people would argue a couple of years back, you know, like, we basically won the 14th with basically, you know, a couple of chances here and there, right? Like, we weren't blowing teams away even back then. But I feel like it's even more drier, right, Jacob, now, right? It's a lot more worse.
Yeah, man, it's hard to play with 2 second strikers and
harder. So that's my only thing. The couple of chances that land on your feet should find the back of the net. You know, we work so hard to basically, you know, ease out a chance, and you know, we miss it. It's super, super hard to take. And the very fact that these guys have to take on 2-3 men, it's going to get tiring. It's going to get to a point where they take on 2-3 men, and they put so much focus, so much energy behind all that, they just lose that steam when it gets to the point where it matters, you know, finding the finishing touch. But yeah, man, I guess this is a good win. You know, good win in terms of the league, you know, and the result in general. But the performances have to really have an uptick. That's my only request. You know, I'm gonna send Francesco a very good, you know, congratulatory message that this was needed. I always do that every single game, but I'm going to add this time that we really need to be a lot more proactive, you know, in how we, you know, basically, put away chances early on. Early goals, man, please. That's all I ask. You know, we should start games a bit more, you know, on the front foot. Yes, we did kind of, you know, tonight. The Lucas Vazquez chance was, the goal was kind of ruled off. I was super happy. That finish was mad, bro. You know, like, he had to basically control it on the run. He hit him on his face. He's kind of blacked out for a second. Then he finds his composure to neatly, you know, tuck it in to the goalkeeper's left. Yeah, to the goalkeeper's right. Yes. Yeah, I really like that that pass from Vini as well. You know, it was immaculate in the way he kind of whipped it, and, you know, found the perfect weight. Why don't we see more of that? You know, like see one time a guy from midfield or guy from, you know, outside the final phase makes a penetrating run, we end up with that chance, right? It was such a satisfying move. You know, it's a shame that it got ruled out for obviously Nacho being, you know, who he is, right? Like, I was just hoping, you know, like the replays were, you know, kind of trying to show if he really, you know, fouled. Who was it? Was it Ocampos? Not sure. Who was it, Ocampos?
I think it was El-Nesyri.
El-Nesyri, right? El-Nesyri. But yeah, like the third time the replay was shown, they kind of magnified into his boots. You know, it's, you know, straight up shows his boots kung fuing him, you know, into a foul. But yeah, man, I would have liked the performance to be a lot better, but I'll take it. I'll take the result. But go on, Jacob. You had something to say?
No, like I was just gonna add, like. On top of what you said, like every time we pushed a midfielder to the box or a defender to the box, we caused havoc. We saw that with the Chaumini's chance. We saw that with the Valverde chance. Yeah. We need to absolutely do more of that. And the only issue is like if we do that against bigger teams, we're dead.
Is it just caution? Yeah. Is it just the plan to protect our back line?
I feel like it was, especially considering like maybe Fede Valverde is in at the top of his game, Chaumini, they're both tired. Because I did feel like that they were tired, so maybe that contributed. But yeah, I feel like when Jude comes back, all of these issues will get solved on its own. So hopefully
Jude 100
makes the best.
Jude 100%, you know, basically does what he does, and basically, you know, like his innate instincts when it clicks, he just knows. Yeah, like if I just make a darting run, I'm gonna receive something, or just at least, you know, make some space. That should be the main. I think. I'm not a coach. I don't get paid to, you know, really delve into the minute details. But as a fan, right, watching the team, I just sometimes feel like the guys really don't know what move to make. Right, like really, I really have that feeling. Like this kind of. You know, like I'm saying all this since Farouk isn't here. If Farouk was here, I would be like, you know, Carlo is basically, you know, giving us the league in early March. But if you really deep it, right, like our players are basically improvising on the go. It shouldn't be that bad. Like I get it. We are playing without a focal point. We are playing without strikers. We're playing with wingers, strikers. I get all of that. But there should be a bit more rehearsed
structure
to our proceedings, man. Like,
man, that's never been Carlo, to be honest. It's like whenever you ask him about tactics, he's like, my job is to get to the final third and these guys will figure it out.
I get that. Like, we all, like, I personally love Carlo's free-for-all style, which basically, like, I would proudly, you know, fight my mates, especially back in the day, and even, you know, a couple of years when we won the 14th, claiming that the reason why people find it hard to beat us is that we don't have a definitive style. They can't really plan for us, right? Like, if we really don't have, like, an A plan, right? But for me, at least, you know, going up against a side like Inter Milan is gonna be, you know, a horror show. Like, I saw the game against Atleti and how, you know, well organized they were. They basically knew what they had to do to thwart Atleti. And Atleti has better striking options. Yeah, like Morata's injured and whatnot. But they do really have a better threat going forward than we do. I truly believe so. Especially without Jude as well. So yeah, coming up against top opposition is going to be a really interesting scenario. And I hope Carlo finds a way like he always does. I do believe he will. But yeah, like preparing for what's to come is a bit scary, I'm not gonna lie. And, but yeah, man, big up every
wait, I just had an important question. Would you rather Atleti or Inter in the quarterfinals?
I don't want to face Atleti. No chance. Because Inter, even if they outplay us, even if they make life difficult for us, our players won't get carried away with the emotion of the affair. Atleti, I think, more than what they kind of have in their arsenal, in their, you know, inventory to hurt us. I think the occasion has kind of gotten to our players sometimes, and, you know, has swayed matches in their favor. With Inter, I don't think that's going to happen necessarily. What do you feel like? Who do you prefer, Jacob?
Yeah, man, definitely Inter, because I feel like we have like way more quality than them in midfield. Yeah, no matter what Çalhanoğlu says, that he's the best center half and whatnot.
Oh, he really did say that. Holy shit. He just put himself in the same bracket as Toni Kroos and KDB and whatnot.
Absolutely. I feel like we have more than enough quality to take them out. And, you know, in these bigger games, Rudiger and whatnot, they can actually handle like Marcus Thuram and who's that guy? Lautaro Martinez. I feel like we can actually pocket them when Rudiger actually steps up. So
Arnautovic, you know, I have no idea how he's playing for Inter, but he scored the goal, you know. He had a couple of very glaring misses against Atleti. I was like, holy shit, man.
And the Atleti defense was shit, man. Like, I feel like back at the Metropolitano, like, they'll have way better of a game.
Yeah, I think they'll do the job. But then at the Metropolitano, I think it's game set and match, you know, it's finished. But I do like the arrogance that Inter has. They really are someone who people sleep on. I really think, you know, they are very underrated. There's the reason why they got to the, you know, the final versus City, and City really had to, you know, work for a goal. But yeah, man, big up every single one of you in the chat. Big up Ashik, big up Prince, big up Marcus Benningham, big up our people tuning in on our audio platforms. A few more comments before we go. Ashik was mentioning Faru comes back and Hoselu scores a hat-trick. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah, you can keep dreaming, man. He also had something to say about your comments earlier. He was reminding you, Jacob, that it's a football podcast, right? Ashik was also saying, Nacho seems to make a salsa out of falling people at the wrong occasions a lot these days. Yeah, Ashik was saying, yeah, he has a very good point. He was mentioning, don't forget that we had to keep pressure of Rudiger. He isn't 100% fit yet. That's a valid point. Yeah, I sometimes feel like, you know, we play a bit more cautious to kind of protect what happens if we get countered on, right? Like, maybe that might be the reason, you know, our midfielders are a bit passive. But unless we really let them off the hook, right? Like, yeah, maybe keep Fede for, you know, some pace to counter, but is Kroos going to make darting runs into the box? He's not, right? Like, who is your other option? Tchouaméni? So I think Fede has to be the guy, right? Making late runs. Like, Tchouaméni and Kroos stays back, and Fede absolutely has to join in. Unless we do that, you know, we really can't muster chances in open play. Right. Big up our listeners on our audio platforms as well for, you know, sending in messages, you know, positive and negative feedback. I always, you know, reiterate that what you guys tell us means a lot to us. You know, this podcast is what it is because this is a two-way street. Big up our partners on Instagram, Real Madrid Committee as well. OGs, go check them out. They run a brilliant Real Madrid fan page. Big up Manscaped as always. Don't forget LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping on manscaped.com. Do check their catalog out. Pioneers in men's grooming, below the waist men's grooming, but they also have a lot of other products, ranging from beard trimmers, nose trimmers, loungewear, all of that. Go check them out, people. Yeah, watch out for you know, our previews next week. It's going to be a little hectic, you know, with especially the second leg of Leipzig and Valencia away. It's going to be a, you know, a really testing period for us. I hope, you know, we can keep this momentum running even if the performances aren't great. Not going to lie, the performances matter on the day. We talk about the game, but, you know, looking back, we wouldn't care that much, do we, Jacob, right? That's my, you know, whole psychology built on, especially in the Carlo. But yeah, man, until next time, people. Hala Madrid.
Hala Madrid.